Welcome to episode 49 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura. We got my great co-host to the right of me, Mr. Caleb Connett. And we have a very special guest starting their very own podcast called Double Jointed. Two great guests, Tyson and Chazen. Tyson and Chazen, how have you been so far on this fine Monday, January 18th?
Man. MLK day, so I'm feeling blessed,
feeling great.
Right,
that's definitely great to hear. And since you're starting a new podcast called Double Jointed, for the viewers that are going to be listening to this, what is your podcast Double Jointed all about?
It's basically just us just chilling, talking about it's really just us chilling, smoking weed and talking about anything that comes to us, for real.
All right, well, that is definitely great to hear. So for the viewers that are listening to this episode, make sure you check out Tyson and Chasen's podcast called Double Jointed. Seems like it's going to be a great podcast in the makings. And my great co-host, Caleb Connett, how are you this fine Monday, January 18th?
I'm chilling, man. Steady hustling. It's a new week. It's MLK Day. You feel me? So we're going to start it off strong. I'm just continue to hustle. I'm feeling good. How you feeling, Matt?
I am feeling great as always. As many of you viewers know, I am a diehard Packers fan, so I am definitely pumped for the NFC Championship game next Sunday to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I am also looking forward to discussing today's topics. So for this episode, we'll be talking about the James Harden trade that just recently went down, and other things NBA related, current NBA standings, and even throwing in a little bit of who we believe is a rookie of the year so far. And we will get to talk about some UFC. So with that being said, let's start off first with the James Harden trade that went down as of late. I'll start out with you, Caleb. When you heard that James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets, what were your first thoughts in mind when that went down?
To be honest, I was mad. I went on Twitter. I was tweeting shit. I was hot as fuck. I was mad. I didn't want it to see it happen. But they made their team way better. I thought the trade was horrible. Honestly, I thought they could have shipped Harden to, like, the Sixers or something and got more. You feel me? For, like, Ben Simmons and stuff like that. I think the Rockets should have kept Caris LeVert just because Oladipo is on an expiring contract, but that allows them to, you know, have some flexibility in the free agency in the upcoming years. So I guess that's where they were heading. So it was a cool trade. I'm happy to see him play with the Nets. I can't wait to see how that turns out for them. But from Houston's perspective, I was just mad, and I felt like they could have shipped him elsewhere, especially as a Laker fan. You know, we don't want to have to worry about facing fucking KD, James Harden, and Kyrie. We kind of already got to worry about the Clippers, even though we kind of don't have to worry about them. But yeah, although I was pretty mad, you got goddamn three MVPs on one team. It's going to be heck.
It's definitely going to be an interesting thing that's going to go down. I think the Eastern Conference is going to be a very interesting battle. You got the Nets with what they got, and you got Milwaukee as well with Philadelphia doing well. It's going to be an interesting race. Let's hear what our guests have to say. Tyson and Chazen, what do you guys think about the James Harden trade that went down last week?
Man, you kind of saw it coming after his little media outburst, but to the Nets, I feel like the Nets just gave up a lot for him. And, like, yeah, they're three MVP candidates, but, like, we really don't know how that's going to work because they really don't got a bench. They traded Jared Allen, like, their center gone, their Caris LeVert gone, they bench score. Like, we don't really know what they're going to do, but it looks good. I give it that. It's James Harden. Like, he got out of the Houston what he wanted, but you know, they three ball heavy
players
are just gonna be really hard. But the game, Brooklyn, it's gonna be a nice season. So,
I mean, I think I would say the same thing. I said that y'all gave up way, way, way too much for one player. But at the end of the day, it is James Harden. But honestly, I think the other team benefited very heavily from that trade, because Caris LeVert going to the Pacers, Victor Oladipo goes to the Rockets. Like, the Rockets look better than the Nets, in my opinion, on paper.
Follow up on that. Why do you think the Houston Rockets with Oladipo, Wall, Cousins, and Christian Wood are better on paper than the Brooklyn Nets with three potential MVP candidates?
See, like Tyson said, I don't we don't know if that's gonna work. And on top of that, you gave up I don't really watch Nets games, but from what I was seeing, Jared Allen was playing way, 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 way better than DeAndre. I don't know what other centers they have. So I thought that they really just gave up their best center, and now they just stuck with DeAndre. So you just gave up your best center. You gave up Caris LeVert. Who else they give up?
They also gave up some picks too.
They could have been looking nice in a couple of years, but you don't know what they're about to do over the offseason. So
yeah, and what's crazy is for the listeners out there, here's the full trade that went down. We mentioned bits and pieces of it, but the full thing was the Nets traded Jared Allen and Torian Prince and their 57th pick to the Cavaliers. So that's going to the Cavs. They also, like Chazen mentioned, Caris LeVert, Rodion Krug, three first-round picks, four first-round pick swaps. Caris LeVert is going to the Pacers, like Chazen mentioned, as Oladipo goes to Houston. But, I mean, Houston, they get a lot in return. The Houston Rockets, they basically get a whole lot of picks. You get three guaranteed first-round picks. A 2022 first, 2024 first, and a 2026 first. But on top of that, you get potentially four first-round pick swaps, which basically means if you're Houston, if you like the 2021 pick, you could be like, I'll snag that. I'll take that. Or, you know, you could pick and choose. My real interesting thing was with the Cavaliers. I mean, you look at the Cavs, they got a lot of centers. You got Drummond, who's having a good year, with JaVale McGee. I was kind of surprised that they added Jared Allen, you know, to that roster. And I kind of want to throw this question out to you guys. I'll throw it out to our guest, Tyson. With Jared Allen going to the Cavaliers, does that mean one of their big men is going to be traded, either Drummond, McGee, or possibly Kevin Love?
Yeah, I think definitely – it's probably going to be JaVale McGee. But, yeah, I forgot they even traded Jared Allen to the Cavs when they have three centers. Like, I don't know what they was thinking.
I did see that a rumor about Andre Drummond would get traded, might get traded. So I would say Andre Drummond if I had anybody, even though he had a good season.
Definitely good points there. What do you think, Caleb, with Jared Allen going to the Cavs? Do you believe, like Chazen mentioned, that with rumors of possibly Andre Drummond, that he could be next, or could it be JaVale McGee, or possibly Kevin Love?
To be honest, I think both Tyson and Chazen are right, just because, you know, McGee, he's hot on the market right now. Obviously, everybody's seen how good he was with LeBron. He was amazing with LeBron James. LeBron just made him a way better player, so. Everybody's seen that. Secondly, Drummond, they could get a lot more for Drummond. You feel me? Drummond could go to, the Clippers. He could be a huge help for the Clippers, just throw them out there. But the Cavs could get a lot more back. And if it's draft picks, whatever capital, whatever they're looking for, they could use Drummond or Kevin Love for that. I'm not sure, but I think both of them are on expiring contracts. So that makes them, like, their trade value not as much as they usually would. I don't know where their trade value really is right now. But I could see any one of those guys getting dope, in my honest opinion, for the right price. If they could get the right price for Drummond or Love, I could see him leaving for sure. Because, I mean, they got Jared Allen for cheap. They, what did they gave up? Exum and, like, fucking second-round picks for Jared Allen. They got him for cheap. And the young guys are – the young core is already nice. You got Garland, Sexton, Isaac Okoro, Larry Nance is hard, and Allen. That's a lineup of less fuck, I'm stuttering. That's a lineup under 30 and all solid players. So I think they actually did win the trade.
Definitely good points there. I'm also gonna agree with what you guys are saying as well. I definitely do think if I'm the Cavaliers, I would definitely look to trade Drummond, especially with how great he's playing right now. His value is at a high. And in my opinion, I believe when it gets down to the trade deadline, whether they have it around February or March, I do believe that there is going to be an NBA team that will be desperate enough to be willing to trade for a center. And I kind of want to throw out this question. Caleb kind of touched on it earlier. I'll mention it to you, Tyson and Chazen. If you're the Cavaliers and you're going to trade Andre Drummond, what kind of value would you want for Drummond? Is it just one of those where it's like, just get him off the books, a second round pick, or are you going to want like multiple firsts, maybe a player involved, that sort of ordeal?
I mean, Drummond just went off like the other game. He just dropped like a double-double with like 20 boards. So I think any team going to need to use, like, they going to need that. They going to want that. So I think he definitely a couple first, not a couple, but he at least one or two first-round picks and a player. Shit, my fault. I got this clock. But, yeah, I gotta wait for this thing to stop.
It's all good. Let's hear the clock. The clock is speaking. So does the clock think that Drummond is worth two first rounders?
Man, repose the question.
Okay, so the clock spoke. I feel like the clock definitely likes to hear about Andre Drummond. The main question that I was posing was, If you were the Cavaliers, what kind of value would you want for Andre Drummond? Would you be willing to give up a couple firsts to get him, or second, or would you give up a player for him?
Like you said, you know, there's going to be a team that is desperate enough to make the trade. It just depends on what team needs him. I don't think you fucking give up first round picks and a lot of capital if he's not gonna help you like win a championship right now. Like, a team I could see maybe trading for him is the Celtics. Tristan Thompson, he's cool. You know, what's his name, Daniel Thesis or whatever, he's cool. But you want somebody that's gonna bring value to the team. I mean, like Tyson said, he just ended up with 33-23. Drummond can do shit like that. So Boston wouldn't be a bad place to trade for him. It's just going to be the team that needs him, where he can make an immediate impact. Because, like I said, I'm not giving no first round pickup for somebody that's not going to come back next year, or at least help me win the chip now. You feel me? So it depends what team and who's going to be in that situation. Obviously, on the West Coast, we can see what teams in that situation. In the East, we can as well. But like I said, if you're going to give up a pick, you got to win it now, for him at least.
And Tyson, to follow up on the points that you mentioned, what would you be willing to offer to try and give up Drummond if you're the Cavs? Would you still want to try and give up multiple firsts, or how would you want that if you're the Cavaliers?
If I'm the Cavs, I'm giving them a couple picks and try to get a I'm trying to get some picks and maybe a player.
I would say medium, like a medium player, maybe like a 10-10 center. Just because if you're getting picks, I don't think you're gonna get a better center than that.
I don't know. Yeah, he's doing his thing this season. So the Cavs can get some good. The ball is in their playing field for real. If they want to get rid of him.
Yeah, definitely make a lot of great points there. In my humble opinion, if I were the Cavaliers, I would just simply see what team is desperate. I would hold on to Drummond until the trade deadline, and I'd dangle him at the trade deadline, and I'd go up to a team like Caleb mentioned, the Boston Celtics. How desperate are you in wanting a center? I mean, like Caleb mentioned, you got Thompson and Tice, but is that enough to beat the Nets? Is that enough to beat Milwaukee? I think Boston might be a desperate team where it's like, damn, you know what? We could win a championship this year with Drummond. I'll fork out a first rounder and maybe a bench piece to get him. So if I'm the Cavs, I feel like it's a wait and hold period, and they definitely have a lot of advantages, especially if Drummond keeps playing at this level. You know, because if he keeps on playing at this value, at this level, his value is only going to go up. And one last thing that I want to mention about this James Harden trade. Caris LeVert to the Indiana Pacers. I'll kind of throw it out to you, Caleb. How good is it that the Indiana Pacers basically moved on from Oladipo, who didn't want to be in Indiana, and in return they get a young guy in Caris LeVert that you could pair up with Domantas Sabonis?
They did great. They came out on top of the trade too. they got who I think the Cavs and Indiana, in my opinion, got who the Rockets should have traded for. They should have just straight up got Caris LeVert and Allen, you feel me? Would have had a young core with John Wall, Wood, and all them dudes. But they are trying to go a different direction. So they showed that with their moves in the trade. But I think, you know, it's big for the Pacers to get Caris LeVert. You'd know that he could bring scoring to the table. He could shoot the three ball, which that was something they were lacking. I don't think they'll, like, you know, go anywhere to like the finals or some shit like that, but they definitely got a better two guard that could score the ball better, you feel me, than Oladipo, and he's younger. So that's my opinion. I think Caris LeVert was better than Oladipo, to be honest. He's better than Oladipo.
Definitely great points mentioned. I'll throw out that same question to you, Tyson and Chazen. You look at the Pacers, they moved on from Oladipo, who most likely would have left in free agency. And in return, you got a young player in Caris LeVert who could play well with Domantas Sabonis. How do you think Indiana did in this trade?
I think they did really good because they have shooters on their team, but now you got a great shooter who can create his own shot. And he can get to his own spots, like, without really much help, and he can help the team in an area where they need that. Like, I mean, they just got blown out by the Clippers. Shout out my Clippers, but they just got blown out by the Clippers yesterday because their defense is shaky. So I think it's tough. They lost Oladipo, a good two-way player, but I think they'll be good.
Definitely great points there. What do you think, Chazen? Do you think the Pacers made some good moves to get Caris LeVert and move on from Oladipo?
Yeah, I agree with everything Caleb and Tyson said. I really think that it was better because Caris LeVert, I think, is a better team player, as in, like, with Domantas Sabonis, he could, like, and like all the other teammates, he'll definitely be passing more than Oladipo, I think, in my opinion. And he could get to his own shots. And I think he's a better ball handler too. So that'll definitely help.
All right. Definitely great points made there. I also have to agree with you guys as well. I believe the Pacers did a great job in this trade. I mean, you look at even before the season started, there were a lot of rumors of Oladipo possibly wanting out of Indiana, possibly leaving in free agency. And if I'm the Pacers, I'm just like, look, do you really want to be here, Oladipo, or not? And I think by that trade, it meant that Oladipo did not want to be there. You get a young guy in Caris LeVert who could do the same, if not more, than what Oladipo is doing right now. And you look at how well Sabonis is playing. I think it was a great job by the Indiana Pacers. I think overall, I mean, there were a lot of good trades on each team. I think you could pick apart that. Each team basically got what they want. The Nets got their superstar in James Harden. The Rockets moved on from Harden, who didn't want to be there, and got a ton of picks. the Cavs, like Caleb mentioned, got their young center in Jared Allen, and the Pacers got Caris LeVert. So a lot of wins on each side of the forefront. Let's move on to the current NBA standings. As we look at the Eastern Conference right now, if the playoffs started today, it would be the Bucks at the one seed, Celtics 2, Sixers 3, Pacers 4, Nets 5. The Knicks have the 6th seed, Cavs 7, and the Orlando Magic have the 8th seed. I know it's early on in the season. You know, teams have played, you know, 13, 12 to 14 games. But looking at the standings 1 through 8, I'll throw it out to you first, Caleb. What team kind of surprises you the most that are sort of in the top 8 as of this point during the season?
Surprises me the most? That's a good question. You're throwing a surprise out there, man. I don't know what team I would say surprises me the most. What team surprises you the most? I don't know. I don't know if I would say I'm really surprised right now. Well,
in the Eastern Conference right now, early in the season, I'm surprised that the Knicks are the 6th seed. Like I thought during the season, the New York Knicks would kind of be kind of like near the bottom of the conference, just kind of skate by with all the players that they have, a new head coach. I thought they'd be on the bottom, but I mean, Tom Thibodeau has his guys playing. I know they're 7-8 right now and it's early in the season, but right now I have to say the Knicks are probably the most surprising team for me in the Eastern Conference side of things.
Oh, definitely.
And before, just to piggyback what you said, I'll say this at least. The bottom three teams don't surprise me just because it's too early to really tell right now whether, like, these teams are going to be consistent enough to actually make the playoffs. But somebody that does surprise me is the Celtics. If we look at their record, they're the one team that is consistently in the top three at that conference every year. Right now, they've been without Kemba, and it's really been Jason Tatum's team. So to see how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have led the team into being a consistent top seed. I keep fucking twisting my words, but they're consistent top seed. And there's somebody that surprised me. So I got to give props to Boston. And I mean, I do see where you're coming from with the Knicks. I didn't think they would be that good, but you know, they got Tom Thibodeau with all the talent that they have over there. They should be at least decent. So this, I expected them to be, you know, decent, but we'll see how consistent they are.
We'll definitely see how consistent they are as well. And I'll even throw out that same question to our special guests. Out of the teams in the Eastern Conference that I mentioned, whether it being 1 through 8 or potentially the bottom teams, what team kind of surprises you the most so far during the season through about 12 to 14 games?
I was going to say the Knicks actually too, because RJ Barrett is playing very well and Julius Randle is playing very well. And that team is just, they are 7-8, but they're doing way better than they did last year. So, and they're top 6. So I think they could play consistently to make the playoffs, but as far as to how far they'll go, we'll never know, but they're playing very well. So I would say the Knicks too.
I was gonna say the Knicks too because I can't even lie, I wasn't expecting this. Like, even though they've had like most of these same players, they have not played this well ever. So it's like, that's why I would say it's surprising. And is it counter surprises if the teams are playing bad too?
Yeah.
Because yeah,
or you could also throw in there like a disappointing team if you want to. Like right now, the Miami Heat are the 12th seed at 4-7. Raptors are 4-8. Yeah, 13. If you want to throw those teams in as well,
Washington is ass.
Yeah,
Washington, Westbrook, and they should be a lot better. I'm surprised with what the fuck's going on down there. I was talking about Washington, like, bro, they just got old boy from Europe, or
Danny Avita.
Yeah, you know, little Luca, you know, they had Rui I can't say his last name, but
Rui Hachimura.
Rui Hachimura, yep.
Thomas Bryant, you feel me there?
Who's gonna see this?
I was gonna say the Wizards too, but I was just looking at their roster. Nah, they should be down there.
You I mean, what makes you think they should be down there though?
I mean, they just don't got the players. Like, yeah, you got Westbrook and you got Bradley Beal, two top players in the league, but you gonna need more than that to compete in the even in the Eastern Conference.
But damn, I hope that they get what the fuck they're looking for, because
yeah, I don't want to see Westbrook go out sad like that.
Yeah, that nigga. I mean, what? But like,
and Bill.
Yeah, and Bill. They just need to trade both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, and Caleb, the way how that car zoomed in the background, that's probably Bradley Beal wanting out of DC. He's trying to zoom out of there as quick as possible. He's basically saying, look, you guys gave me Russell Westbrook and he ain't doing nothing. This team, like Caleb mentioned before, Washington is ass. Get me out of there. Get me somewhere to a team that competes.
Exactly. That's what James Harden did. James Harden was exactly that car. He got the fuck on out of Houston real quick.
He also got his weight out of Houston. I mean, have you seen those pictures where like Harden looked like he was all fat and stuff, and like the announcer said that dude had a pregame meal, and then you see him in Brooklyn and he's all
skinny.
I'm saying he had to do that on purpose.
Yeah. Do any of you guys think that he had a bodysuit?
Yeah, like no, it had like, to be. No, it had to be. It had to be like he was trying to get out of there so bad, like. Bro, you can't lose the weight that quick.
Bruh, look, I'm finna put y'all on right now. I'm finna put y'all on right fucking now. I said this on the last podcast. I said that bruh, he gonna get traded and he gonna lose all the weight. It's gonna disappear. I might have not said it on our podcast. I might have said it on another one. But I know I said it. Now, for one, if you see every warm-up, that nigga did not have on one shirt. He had on that big ass warm-up jacket, you know. And the thing with that is it makes you look fat when you don't tuck it in. You feel me? He was just tucking his shit in on the lazy tip, and niggas thought like, okay, he came in on the grandpa.
Okay, Caleb got the inside scoop.
But if you look at every picture posted in the Nets little uniform warm-up, he was in a single. Oh my god, I keep twisting my words. He was in a single long sleeve shirt. That's what it was. You feel me? So like, yeah, he was wearing, all I'm saying is he was wearing two different fits before the game. And one of them made him look fatter than the other. But
I don't know. It looked like he had a pillow under his shirt, bro.
He looked like the girl who turned into like a blueberry on Charlie and the Chocolate,
bro. This man Chasen just said he looked like the blueberry girl on
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one right there. Let's kind of move on to the Western Conference side of things. Now, the top eight teams right now in the Western Conference, we got both of our teams. Caleb and I each like the Lakers. They're at the one seed at 11-3. Tyson and Chasen, your Clippers are 10-4 at the two seed. Jazz got the 3, Suns 4, Blazers 5. Spurs got the 6, Mavericks 7, Warriors got the 8 seed. Other teams are going to be thrown in as well. You got the Thunder at the 10 seed, Nuggets 11, Rockets 13, the Timberwolves at 15, the bottom team in the Western Conference. I'll throw it out to our guests, Tyson and Chasen. What team do you guys believe in the Western Conference you are most surprised with?
Oh man, I think I'm looking at. I mean, I wouldn't say Phoenix because I am looking at Phoenix because how good they went from last season to this season. I mean, they went crazy in the bubble, but they added Chris Paul. That's just gonna make your team just that much better. So. I just think the jump they made in two seasons, they're doing their job right now.
I'd agree with you. Just to piggyback off of what you said, because I would agree with you, bro. The addition of Chris Paul, it was great that they swiped that away from the Clippers. That Chris Paul had an inside scoop. Chris Paul was trying to make that happen again.
Man, but, don't even want to tell you what would have happened if that happened, but.
Yeah, it would have been crazy. It would have been crazy. Chris Paul is for sure, like the best point guard in the league. There's no hands down, like there's no argument. Like he is the best point guard in the league. But as far as assisting the ball, getting people involved and stuff like that, I would say I am surprised with Phoenix too, just because of their record, how they've been doing. They were number one in the Western Conference like a couple of days ago. But they, you know, fell off. Phoenix is really no surprise when you look at the Western Conference. You know, this is kind of how it was set up to be. I want to give up some props to San Antonio, though. They're fighting. They're showing why they should still be in the playoffs with all these young guys, and they're showing why they should be respected. Another team I'm surprised with is Denver as well. They need to get it together. Although it is the beginning of the season, they do need to get it together and figure out how to win these games.
Definitely good points there. I'm going to throw in this team. I'm throwing in the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz are the third seed. I'm shocked that they're doing this well. I know it's early in the season. They've only played 13 games and they won 9 of them. But I thought the Utah Jazz were kind of one of those teams that's kind of like in the middle of the Western Conference, kind of one of those like maybe 5, 6, 7 seed, you know, that's kind of where I thought they'd be at. But right now they're playing pretty well. If they could keep this up during the entire season for the rest of the way and be potentially in the top four in the Western Conference, I think maybe they could make a little run, maybe win a playoff series. You know, depending on where they're positioned, maybe too. You know, we'll have to see what happens. But I am definitely surprised in the Utah Jazz. I'm also glad that Caleb mentioned the Denver Nuggets at 11. I think so far Denver is very disappointed. I think Denver should have been one of those teams to go after Bradley Beal. I mean, they have the pieces to trade him. You have young assets you can trade. You can trade Michael Porter Jr. You can trade Bol Bol. Yeah, Gary's Harry. You got first round picks that you could be willing to give up, because in the Western Conference, what separates the title contenders from the playoff teams? You look at the Lakers. You got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, two of probably the best players in the NBA. You got the Clippers. You got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, some of the best players in the NBA. Why they're in title contention? Because you got two superstars. Denver. You got maybe one superstar in Nikola Jokic, and the others are just stars. If you could find a way, and who knows, maybe Denver can make this move. Maybe by the trade deadline, if they truly think they could find a way to get Bradley Beal, maybe they could add him as well. But I'm telling you right now, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, it's not bad, but that's not going to win you a championship. If you could bring in Bradley Beal to Denver, I think with those three – plus some of the little bench pieces that they have, I think they could definitely be able to compete in the Western Conference. But as of right now, I'm just disappointed with Denver, just because I expected a lot more. I mean, Tyson, you probably expected the same as well. I mean, you look at, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. I mean, I know you're a big Clippers guy. I know it's hard to bring up, but I mean, they came back down 3-1. Down 3-1 against your squad. I mean, they made it to the conference finals, and it seems like they haven't really recovered since then. I mean, they lost key guys in the offseason, Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee. But if you're Denver, how can you bounce back? I mean, should you make a move right now, or should you kind of wait till, you know, around the trade deadline, February or March, to kind of decide what to do from there?
Let's not talk about last year. They killed us.
Understandable.
But I think right now, I think they should be looking at what players they could get rid of. But it's really early. It's still early in the season. Like, you don't hit the panic button right now. But if they lose a couple more games or have like or like they can get it together, then I do see them trading for like a Bradley Beal, like a score, a good score to pair with Jamal Murray, because Jamal Murray
he's a superstar. I think that was kind of bold of you to say that he was a star. I mean,
the way he was doing people in the bubble, I was.
Yeah, he showed like, I'm a superstar, nigga. Like, you better get it right. He was a superstar. I think he's a superstar talent, but you have a point. If you didn't say this, but I see why you said he's a star. He's not as consistent. He has not been doing that same shit. It takes him a long time to get hot. He might have 4 points the whole game, and then all of a sudden, the last 6 minutes, he wants to 20-0 burst. But, like, you feel me? Like, yo, like, it's too late. The nigga's already down by 30. You feel me? Like, it's too late. So I think his problem is he's not as consistent. But if they could get him a Bradley Beal, like, that's another guard that will allow him to not have the ball 24/7. And they do the same thing. They go from the top of the key, they set him a million screens, he steps behind one and shoots the three, you know? So he needs somebody that could take the ball away from him.
Yeah, Bradley Beal would be a great fit for that team.
Yeah, he would. He would. That, he made a point, though, like, for real. Like, I mean, Porter Jr., he's not being consistent either. I'd trade him more than willing. You feel me? Gary Harris, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bobo, I like Bobo, though. I really fucks with Bobo. I really do. Just because, like, he brings a lot to the game. He's a lot. Like, he can do a lot. He can shoot. He can play outside the paint. He can play inside the paint. He could play defense. He's fucking butt-fuck long. So, it's a lot of stuff he could do. But, yeah, the trade to Washington for Bradley Beal, we need it. Get in contact with the GM and let them know they need to do that ASAP right now.
Man, because like, job, he can play as a spot up. He can create his own shot. He can get to the basket. Like, Bradley Beal, he don't deserve this, man.
The man dropped 60 points and they lost.
And they lost. Oh my god! Get that man some help.
And I kind of want to throw this out as well. If you guys played basketball, how would you guys feel if you worked your ass off and dropped 60 points and your team still lost? Do you look at your team the same, or you just look at it as like, man, y'all a bunch of bums?
Man,
I mean,
at 44 and I'm dropping all 21 and y'all ain't doing nothing, man. I don't even want to play. I don't even care if I win the game. Like, I don't want to play with y'all again. So I don't know. You can just imagine how he's feeling.
I mean, of course he's feeling bad, but you know, as a basketball player, you can't give up on your team. You feel me? I would not respect it if he was like, oh, like that shit James Harden did. I don't like that shit. I did not like.
He gave a lot of years.
Oh, fuck, I mean, you already got this to that point. Then gave a lot of years to this shit.
Not everybody Kobe though.
Every athlete
gonna stay with the same team,
huh?
Not everybody like Kobe and gonna stay with the same team no matter what. Like, they just, these new players would just really want that championship.
Yeah,
so they want to find the legacy.
Yeah, and you want to talk about the legacy, right? It's about the legacy. That's what we talk about. But this goes into your legacy. So yeah, you're gonna get the championship, but you were crying and you quit on your guys to go leave and get a championship.
Yeah, the way James Harden did it was for sure shit. Not it, though.
That's like some 6ix9ine shit. Like, you, like, come on.
Damn. Come on.
Is it not?
Yeah, well, like, he didn't sign
up for the life.
He didn't snitch, though. Caleb, the team is 4-7. The team does stink. I mean, it's not really snitching on your guys if your team stinks, but.
I'm not saying snitching on you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, don't walk out on guys. You feel me? We're 4-7. Request a trade and let them get you out of there.
Yeah, he handled it wrong.
I understand what Harden was doing. He was just trying to speed up his process. But, I mean, we don't have enough talent here. You feel me? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Dude. I think the fat suit speeded up the process, too.
Yeah.
A lot of shit speeded up the process. But Show speeded it up quick.
If he was that heavy, and he slimmed down on the Nets. I need to find out what kind of diet he has, because I think anybody should take notes on that. I mean, if I could get like that with ease, I'm like, hey, sign me up. I don't care about that.
But the thing was, when he was playing the game, he ain't even look that fat. He ain't even look fat.
Yeah, he didn't. He was still getting off.
Yeah, he was still getting off. Still, ain't even talk about not enough time. Bradley Beal scored 60. He's still out there.
Man. Hey, Bradley Beal, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want him. I don't want to see him going to is the Lakers. So,
oh my God, could you imagine being AD?
We got Schroeder, Harrell, Horton Tucker, and Caruso. We got enough to pull it off. We could get him here.
Hey, all I gotta say is Tyson, your Clippers better hold up their end of the bargain. We better get a Lakers Clippers Western Conference Finals.
I need the Clippers. I was so mad last year about that bubble situation. I was literally about to be like, I ain't even watching the games this year. But
what did Caleb send you any messages after your team blew a 3-1 lead?
I was getting a lot of messages, but I definitely did get a message from him. So it was just like I had to stay off my phone. Like, I don't even want to hear about this.
Oh yeah, I went to the messages. I know for damn sure I went on Twitter. I know they'll see it. You know, I know they'll see it. Yeah, yeah.
So disappointing.
Let's hope both of our teams hold up our end of the bargain. Let's hope we get a Lakers-Clippers playoff matchup this upcoming season. We'll see what happens there. Let's move on to kind of rookie of the year so far. I'll throw it out to my co-host Caleb. Who do you believe, if the season were to end right now, would be the rookie of the year?
My bet right now is LaMelo, and I said Golden State should have picked him, just because, you know, it would have been dope to see him and Steph play. I think that would have really made the Warriors go stupid crazy right now. But I do like Wiseman. I have became big on Wiseman. But right now, I'm putting in my vote as LaMelo Ball. I think he's showing why, like, he's the best ball brother, for one, and, like, why he could play. Like, he's simply a baller. He gets buckets. He gets everybody involved. He's still going to improve a lot of places on his game, but he can ball, bro. Like, period. Can't hate on the kid. He can play basketball.
He definitely can. What about you, Tyson? If you had to name Rookie of the Year right now, who would it be?
Yeah, it's for sure LaMelo. Like, even though their team's not winning, he's just going crazy. He's doing what we thought he was going to be doing in the league. Like, he's going to be very good in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And I had to be the same person, but I agree as well. I'm also going to have to go with LaMelo Ball. I truly believe LaMelo Ball should be starting. I mean, I believe he has that much talent. I believe LaMelo Ball should be the starter for the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, even look at the Hornets right now. They're not doing too bad this year. I mean, right now they're just outside of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. I believe they're about at a 9 or 10 seed. So they're right there, but I am very impressed with what LaMelo Ball has been doing with the Charlotte Hornets. And I believe the Hornets made the right draft pick. I mean, I know you have Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier already there, but when Wiseman got selected at number 2 to Golden State, if you were the Hornets, you had to take LaMelo Ball. I mean, you couldn't miss. I mean, that was one of those where the first two picks were kind of a toss up. You kind of figured that Anthony Edwards was going to go to Minnesota. But that number 2 pick, Wiseman or LaMelo, that was kind of a toss-up to see, you know, because I'll tell you for a fact, if Golden State would have took LaMelo, you know Wiseman would have been the Hornets. But because the Warriors took Wiseman, LaMelo to the Hornets, it makes perfect sense. And he's done pretty damn good so far.
Like, my bad, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he fits perfectly. They look good. Their young core is actually really good. Like, talk about PJ Washington. He could shoot the 3 ball. you know, play inside. He's a solid player. Miles Bridges having a solid season this year.
Ooh, Miles Bridges going crazy.
Yeah, he's going nuts. Terry Rozier is actually reviving himself. You feel me? Gordon Hayward was looking really good until he got hurt. They're solid. I think that was the best place for LaMelo to go. Or for any, like, out of those three rookies, Wiseman, and Edwards, I think everybody, like, got put in their right place. I don't think Melo would succeed as much in Minnesota right now, and I don't think Edwards would succeed as much in Charlotte right now if they were to switch roles. So I think everybody kind of got drafted at the right place.
Definitely great points there. Let's hope LaMelo Ball continues his success in Charlotte. And let's close out episode 49 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast with some UFC talk. Now, Tyson, I am fully new with UFC. I'm one of those people, the only thing I pay attention to is just notifications of what goes down. Give us kind of a breakdown of what's kind of going on in the UFC world.
All right, so we had a great card last Saturday, and it was the first card of 2020, and we had some good fights on there. We had some boring ones, of course, but we had some good ones, like Taffa versus Felipe, which was a prelim fight, and it was that fight, them two big, there was two heavyweights, and they was going crazy. Like, they was swinging at each other. They wasn't going down.
How many rounds did it?
It went 3 rounds. Okay. But the only thing that I had a problem with was the decision. Because I think Taffa won, but they gave the split decision to Felipe, but I think Taffa was just more cleaner. I mean, he got caught. He got caught in like the second round, and he got hit in the eye, and he was about to go out, but he still stayed in the fight, and he survived to the last round. So I don't really see how he lost that fight, but it was a good fight nonetheless. And then we had the next fight. We had a women's fight, the final bantamweight, final prelim fight of the night. We had Yanan versus Edwards. And
well, I got one question for you on the women's side of the UFC. What happened to her name was Rousey?
She got knocked out really bad, and she went to WWE.
Oh, that last fight really made her, like,
bro, she got knocked out by Holly Holm, which was the bad kick to the face where she just went out, and then she got beasted on by Amanda Nunes. So she was like, nah, I'm done. I'm going to the U.S., to the WWE.
I said Ronda Rousey, it was probably like that guy on every other Friday, you got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, like, she got rocked. And then, so we had Edwards. It was her debut, and she went crazy. She was doing her thing. Like, her jiu-jitsu, her ground game was crazy. She was scrambling, getting on, still getting up, getting up from the ground to scrambling to get to her back and stuff. Like, her striking was good. So for her debut, she looked really good. She won that fight, unanimous decision, which she should have. And then to start the fight off, we had main card, we had the first knockout of 2020 with Soriano and Todorovic.
First knockout of 2021, right?
2021, yeah, my fault. Ooh. I said 2020. We don't want to talk about that.
2020 knocked you out so hard, you had to repeat it again.
Yeah, that knockout sent us right into 2021. My bad, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, this man Soriano, the UFC was talking about how good he was, and he delivered because he wasn't, the only thing I had a problem with, he wasn't feigning as much as I liked, so he wasn't setting up his punches, but Todorovic was getting his head out the way at first, but you can only take so much. He got caught about 3 good times, and that third time, he got put out. So, Soriano, he's looking good, and he's in the middleweight division, so that's a stacked division. So I don't know how far he would go in that, but he's looking good. He was looking good that fight. Next fight, we got Joaquin Buckley. Everybody knows who Joaquin Buckley is because he just got that viral knockout a few months ago where he – I don't know if y'all saw it. Where
Wait, is that the one with, like, the T thing where he's, like, swipe across that one? Or
where he kicked and then the dude caught his foot and then he spun backwards and knocked him out, like – If y'all ain't seen that knockout,
I've seen that. That was.
Yeah, that was. It was crazy. Like, it was a crazy knockout. So he was obviously just hyped like crazy after that. He got another knockout after that fight. So they was calling him the next Mike Tyson in MMA, which threw me off when I heard it because I was like, that don't even make sense. But it kind of pissed me off when I heard it. I'm like, Mike Tyson the MMA, like, Mike, just because Mike Tyson knocked a lot of people out, like, you can't just call anybody the Mike Tyson.
We got to carry that name with respect. You really got to.
Exactly. And I don't really like Joaquin Buckley. Like, he talk a lot of trash. He really not that good. But
What's his record, though?
He's 12-4 now.
Yeah.
He all right, but he was fighting DiCiarico, which is an Italian. He's one of the other great Italian fighters in the UFC, and DiCiarico wasn't playing with that man. Like, he was not scared at all. The knockout he put on this man, he hit him with the cleanest head kick, with the fastest, cleanest, precise head kick, and just put him out. And I was like, that was the end of Joaquin Buckley's hype train. Because he got put out real bad. He can come back, but, man, USC going to stop hyping that man like that. Because they really set him up for failure.
Hey, it be like that. Niggas got to get fucked up sometimes.
Exactly. Hopefully he come back. I'm not a hater, but hopefully he come back. Next fight, great. He's healthy right now. And then we had Santiago Ponzinibbio coming back for his return fight after 2 years, coming off a really bad injury, like, or a life-threatening situation. So he just came back. So he was on a 7-fight win streak or something like that coming into this fight against Li Jianglang. And, man, I was going for Santiago just because it's like his comeback fight, and he's a great fighter, but he got knocked out real bad. He was just too looking slow out there, and he just was looking real rusty, which I can understand, but he just got caught with a real bad left hand to the chin, and he just put him out, and he was hot. He was hot. He lost that fight, but Li Jianglang was looking real crisp, precise, fast, strong. So I can see why he won that fight. I'm not surprised. And then to our co-main event, classic, that was supposed to happen a minute ago, we got Carlos Condit versus Matt Brown. And this was a great fight. But Carlos Condit was too much for Matt Brown. Matt Brown was taking him down, but he wasn't really doing anything with it. Like, he wasn't really doing any damage, so you can't really get any points for just holding a man down. And then on the feet, Carlos Condit was looking like vintage Carlos Condit. He was kickboxing very good. Strikes were very precise and crisp. So Carlos Condit won that unanimous decision. And then our main event. The main event, Max Holloway, the Blessed Express, versus Calvin Kattar. This was a fight everybody wanted to see because Calvin Kattar, up and comer, he was ranked, I believe, 6th. And Max Holloway is number one contender right now. He shut the haters up. Everybody was saying how Calvin Kattar was the next. He was the greatest boxer in the UFC right now. But you can't forget Max Holloway. He just lost to the champion. He lost his belt to the champion, Alexander Volkanovski. But which I think he got. He lost the first fight against Volkanovski, but I think he got robbed in the second fight. So he should have been a champion right now. But he showed he proved everybody why he need that belt back, because the way he dominated this man, Calvin Kattar, for 5 rounds, that was the fight of the year, for real. Like, I don't think it's going to be hard to top that fight with any other fight. And we got Conor McGregor fighting this week. Like,
and I was just about to bring that up. Who you have winning?
I'll tell you after I finish. Hold on.
Okay.
So Max Holloway put it on this man, Pauls, for 5 rounds, just dominated. He was dominating even the word. Like, he just destroyed Calvin Kattar the whole 5 rounds. And then, I don't know if you guys saw, but this man was dead ass talking to the commentators while fighting this man. Like, he wasn't even looking at Calvin Kattar. He was dodging his punches, talking to the commentators. Like, I was going crazy.
He's the best or something?
He was saying he's the best boxer in the UFC, which is facts. And man, Max Holloway is that man. He's the best featherweight of all time. Once he gets his belt back, his legacy is sealed. But Calvin Kattar, I give Calvin Kattar props, because he was getting hit with some, he was bloodied up and he was getting hit with some mean shots, but he never went down. So Calvin Kattar, he's tough, and he's going to come back very great. So, but Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier next weekend, that is another candidate for fight of the year. But you know, I'm going to have to go with my prediction is Conor, because Conor already beat him once. So, I mean, Dustin was a younger fighter at that time, but Conor's just too precise. Conor's Conor McGregor. He's that man. He got that sniper left hand. He got a lot of strikes. Like, he's accurate. Conor is Conor. He's going to win. And I say he's going to win by knockout first round.
Ooh, knockout first round?
I rock with Dustin Poirier heavy, but he's just too much. Like, he just lead. Like, the way Dustin Poirier get hit, you get hit by Conor, you ain't going to be able to stand up for that long. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going with Conor McGregor first round.
And to follow up on that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Caleb. I'd go with McGregor as well, but I'd give Poirier a bit of a chance. I'd say maybe a knockout in like the third round.
Okay.
Knockout third round.
Okay. Like, I really hope it's a long fight and it's not just a short fight. Like, this is kind of, we're trying to see a Conor McGregor fight. Like, we trying to see a long, good fight. I don't want to see, I would, it's cool if I'd be a knockout, but I'm trying to see a good fight.
Could you imagine if McGregor knocks out Poirier in like 30 seconds into the first round?
I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that.
Why could you see that? Well, I mean, they fought once before, but who won that first one?
Dustin Poirier. I mean, Dustin Poirier got knocked out first round.
And you know what? I think Conor does talk a lot of shit, but although he is really, 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 really good. I think Poirier is gonna win. I think it's gonna go all the way to the end. I think bro's gonna win. Honest.
I could see
Conor ain't fought in like 2-3 years. Last time he got them paws put on him by Mayweather.
Yeah, but that's Mayweather though.
Nah. He fought Donald. His last fight was Donald Cerrone. It was 2019. He won.
That's 2020.
It was 2020. My fault. That was 2020. Okay. And he knocked him out first round too. So, Conor, it's just Conor. Like, he's going to win. I don't know how – it's simple. He's going to win. Like, Dustin Poirier is a great fighter. but he just leaves his chin out too much. And he's just like, his boxing is great, and it, but he just leaves his chin out too much. He's gonna get caught by Conor for real.
I feel it. I feel it. You know what they say in football? It's hard to beat the same team twice or even three times. And we were able to see that last night with the Buccaneers in the Saints game. So that's why I'm going with Poirier, to be honest. I think, although he got his ass beat the first time, you get your ass beat the first time so you could take it to a nigga the second time. So
that's, I could see Poirier winning too, but for me, I'm going Conor.
Yeah. I got you. I got you. We're gonna see. I might have to put a little bit of money on that one.
Ooh, hey, and what about you, Chasen? Do you?
Yeah, don't bet against Conor McGregor.
You don't want to bet against Conor McGregor, but we can make that bet for sure.
Never mind. Is there gonna be that be a bet that goes on between Caleb and Tyson or Chasen? Is there anything that's gonna go down?
Might have to be. Dude, you can't bet against Mystic Mac.
Hey. Hey, we'll see. I'm gonna hit y'all up 2 more days. Let me do my research on these.
you see how Caleb had to pull out the research card? He's like, hold up. Let me take 2 days to research this.
I had to pull up the research card. I got the research card. I put my money in my mouth.
Hey, yeah. Next thing you know, 2 days later, Caleb's gonna be like, Tyson, I was wrong. There's gonna be nothing. The only thing that's gonna be on the line is pride.
Hey, we're gonna find out next week and we're gonna bring the answer right back to the podcast.
Yeah, we'll definitely find out next weekend what happens. And that, my friends, concludes episode 49 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Tyson and Chasen, I appreciate you guys being able to tune in. You were a fantastic guest. This is probably one of our best episodes yet. For the viewers out there, Tyson and Chasen, can you shout out like where your podcast is available and where to follow you guys on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter?
All right. So our podcast is right now on Anchor and Spotify. It's Double Jointed Podcast, or it's in my Instagram bio, which my Instagram is Tyson the Creation. So TYSONTHECREATION. And my Twitter is How to Kill Ty.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Big Daddy Chasen. You already know. I wouldn't say my Instagram, but it's like, man, that's like, I don't feel like spelling it out.
Man, let them know where to fucking find you.
I'm saying, fucking. Hey, man. You can find me on Instagram at She Be Chasing Me, SHEBECHASONME. She Be Chasing Me.
Dude, your Instagram and Twitter names are fire. Big Chasing and She Be Chasing Me.
Man.
Yes, I gotta be creative with mine. And for my great co-host Caleb Conant, where should the viewers find your information?
Man, you already know it's routine. You can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConant. You can find me on Twitter at CalebConant2. Click the link in the bio. And you can find other things too. We got the MCS Royal Sports Podcast. We got Jules and Jim's podcast with me and my dad every Thursday. We got this wristband. Change the narrative on Instagram _change_narrative_ changethenarrative.com spelled the same way. Go bust down your wrist with a wristband. And you can find a bunch of other things. I'm everywhere. I do a lot of stuff. So shit, you already know.
All right. Then my Twitter is @Matt_Scura. Instagram at @Matt_Scura19. Once again, you could check out this great podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast. Like Caleb mentioned, we are available everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. Make sure you guys check out this episode and other episodes that we have done in the past. This is Matt Scura, my great co-host Caleb Conant, and our very special guest, Tyson and Chasen. We appreciate you guys tuning into this video.